Amid the worst losing streak in years, Phoenix Suns fans are pulling the T word out of their back pockets. On today's episode of Locked On Suns, we'll talk about why it makes absolutely no sense for these Suns to tank. Just hear me out. Let's go.
On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We are back. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Brendan Kleen, a credentialed media member covering the Suns for the past six seasons, and a writer at Suns.com and Dime Magazine. Thank you all for making Locked On Suns your first listen here on this Tuesday. We have another game on Tuesday that I don't have any interest in talking about. It appears the Suns are going to be resting their players and extending their losing streak on purpose, which I think actually fits right into what we have to talk about today. Whatever platform you're finding us on, though, folks, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, we are everywhere. Hit follow, hit subscribe, get this show in your feed every single Monday through Friday to stay up to date on your favorite team. This losing streak has now reached seven games, and the Suns are losers of, I believe, four of their last 17. Winners of only four of their last 17, and it is not pretty. There's no way to stretch it that makes it... The losing streak is only six games. Not that that makes a huge difference. There's no way to slice it that's good, but people are starting to talk about tanking, and so that's where I want to take today's show. So let's start with the standings, all right? The Suns are 21-30 right now. That is not the truth. The Suns are 20-21 right now. The worst teams in the NBA have about 30 losses. Suns are 20-21, but you look, again, the worst teams. Detroit has 32 losses, actually. The Hornets have 30. The Rockets have 30. The Spurs have 27. The Magic have 25. You're starting to get, by the end of that list, to some teams that aren't too far away from the Suns. But I think you're pretty unlikely, if you're the Suns, just starting this conversation off, to lose more than the Spurs, the Rockets, the Pistons, the Hornets. There is a reality, guys. As much as this stretch has been ugly, the Suns haven't cracked 100 points in, I believe, a week. But they are going to get healthier. They're going to start playing more games at home. And at a certain point, the roster, the talent level, wins out. Okay, I'm not saying they're going to turn things around and be great, but being worse than those four bottom teams is going to be difficult. And so you're probably not getting all the way to that. However, the ninth worst team in the NBA, which right now is the Utah Jazz, that slot in the lottery odds after they updated those percentages, the ping pong balls and everything, the ninth worst team in the league at the end of the season has a 5.7% chance of jumping into the top four, I believe. Well, they have a 5.7% chance of getting the fourth pick. A top four pick, I believe, is like almost 20% if you get the ninth best odds. We saw that. I believe that was the draft slot that the Grizzlies were in when they jumped up to number two and got Ja Morant. And the Suns right now are only two games back from that ninth spot, which again right now is the Jazz. Okay, so that's where the standings are. It's all very jumbled. It's not just that with the playoff race. We've had a lot of talk, whether when the Suns were in the middle of the playoff picture or any podcast article, whatever you consume about the NBA, it's about how much parity there is this year, how close everyone is together. That's true at the bottom of the standings too, and so the Suns aren't that far away from decent chances at a decent pick. You're not getting amazing chances at an amazing pick, probably, but you could get pretty close. But that brings us back to the roster, and some of this is things I've talked about. I did an episode about how this season is not on James Jones. We've talked a lot about what to expect with Booker out. It's going worse than expected, but the reality still is for this team that they're going to get healthier, all right? Both cams are going to be back before long, maybe even around the same time. Payne will be reevaluated in a couple of weeks. It sounds to me, honestly, some of this injury stuff is maybe the best case you could make that the Suns are thinking about some strategic resting and losing and things like that. Maybe no better instance than this game on Tuesday where they're about to take on the Warriors and the entire rotation is basically questionable or already ruled out. But the case still is, Johnson, if you go to games, you will see him doing workouts pregame. Dwayne Rankin and others who are at practices have been filming him doing drills and stuff at practice. Monty has said he hasn't really been scrimmaging or anything, but he's getting shots up consistently. He's doing a lot of drills and strength and conditioning work. Cam is on his way back. I would assume it happens before the end of January. I would assume both Johnson and Payne are back before Booker gets back. Then you get Booker in late January. And then as I was talking with Brandon Duenas yesterday about the schedule starts to ease up after that a little bit. I mean, right now, if the Suns are playing like they are, no win is a given. But again, assuming they're healthier, February starts to lighten up. And I would say just from a glance, we don't know what the teams will look like by then, but March looked even easier to me. A little more home games and then, some bad teams. The other part of this is the other teams, right? Because we can talk about the Suns' health situation, the Suns' trades and whatever, schedule. But the Wizards, just off the top of my head, I put this list together of teams that I think have an easier path toward a tank if they wanted to pursue one, right? So the Magic have, I think I said, 25 losses, which isn't, again, that far from the Suns, but they're very young. They have a lot of injury-prone players. They've dealt with health stuff for a couple of seasons now, and they don't really have anybody that's a huge superstar that's going to pull them to wins, obviously, right? Raptors, Jazz, Thunder, Wizards, all of those teams could either rest players or trade players, and they could easily get worse. They're also already worse than the Suns, although the Wizards maybe not, but the Wizards have Kuzma, who they're likely to get rid of, and then Beal and Porzingis are injury guys, and then after that, they don't have a lot, right? It's easier to dismantle the competitive cores of those teams than it is for Phoenix when healthy, right? There's this obvious object in the way, which is Booker returning. I understand the concern that it'll be so ugly in the record by the time Booker gets back. And I think that's why Suns fans are leaning in this direction, or at least starting to think about this direction. But it's hard for the Suns to fully and truly tank. Even if we set aside Booker, let's say the hamstring and groin stuff continues. Let's say it's a tough season for him. I think at that point, you're starting to look at, a real conversation. But I'm not going to have a whole podcast where we assume Booker has a bunch of injuries. That's kind of ridiculous. He's dealing with this thing. He's resting and recovering. It happens. There's no reason to think he won't be back. And then you're looking at a team that's just not as easy to pull apart as I think fans are thinking of it as. It's not very long ago that the Suns were 18-12 with Devin Booker in the lineup before this stretch of injuries. That's a 60% win rate. If they go even 500 with him back, that's still not going to get you bad enough to where this is a real conversation. And none of that is to mention the culture problems that would sprout out of a decision like this. And that's the biggest thing to me. We'll get into those next. First, today's show, guys, brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks came in. They overhauled the entire thing. I just lost my fantasy league. I feel like I get fourth place every single year. I'm great at drafting, not as great at finding the people. And I honestly hate it. I don't know why I do it. It's torture. Prize Picks, though, I love because they fixed it. It's not daily fantasy. It is not a league. It is not a pool. It's you versus the player projections. That is the deal, all right? So let's say you're feeling really good about Steph Curry and his return to the lineup here on Tuesday night against the Suns. You can go more on points for Steph. Let's say you think the Suns are going to miss a ton of shots, so maybe you go more on the rebounds for Kevon Looney. And there's a ton of great games around the NBA here on Tuesday night. Cleveland and Utah, Donovan Mitchell's return to the lineup. You have Luka versus Kawhi and Paul George, another rematch of those two playoff series. You can go through all the NBA and more, and you just pick more or less than the Prize Picks player projection. You don't even have to fill out a whole lineup. You can pick 2 to 6 players anywhere in there, and you can win up to 25 times on your money on your entry. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less, and Prize Picks offer a safe and fast withdrawal. So what are you doing? Download the Prize Picks app now or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play this awesome daily fantasy sports game. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. That means if you deposit 100, Prize Picks puts 100 right back in your account to match. Don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON at sign up at prizepicks.com or the Prize Picks app for an instant deposit match up to $100. Talked about the standings, talked about the health situation, and the fact that it'll be hard for the Suns to get bad enough. But if they did, if they could, I want to give everybody a history lesson, all right? The Suns, tanking is what got the Suns into this situation where they needed the overhaul that they were able to put together under Monty Williams and James Jones. Tanking, shameless tanking, aggressive, over-the-top tanking, created the problems that made us wonder about the future of this franchise that started to, I would even say, led in some part to Robert Sarver being put in a position to sell the team, all right? It ruined 5 years of this franchise's recent past, all right? Ryan McDonough accidentally built a 48-win team in 2013-14, then got very reckless, signed Isaiah Thomas because of the value. No one really wanted him. McDonough went out and signed him. That ended up making Goran Dragic frustrated. He asked for a trade out. The trade deadline in 2015 was complete chaos. The Suns were right front and center. They end up getting Brandon Knight at the very peak of his value. He's never that good again. Tears his ACL in a summer game and never is a real NBA player again. That all ended up with the culture being decimated. And I think it cratered in 2017-18. After that season is when James Jones is brought in, actually, in 2017 is when he's brought in as vice president. He is in that role through his first season, and then a few games into his second season, or actually right before the season started, he gets promoted to general manager, and he is still here today in a promotion from that role. No one at that point, in 2017 when James Jones gets hired, no one wanted to work here. No one wanted to play here for the Suns. And so Jones ends up replacing McDonough and somehow convinces Monty to get to be hired here. And the culture starts to build from there. You can trace, obviously, from James Jones being hired to now is a new era for this team. It was only necessary because of how aggressively and shamelessly the Suns tried to build through the draft and build by intentionally losing games. Now, there is a time and a place for tanking. I believe that fully. I was doing this podcast during some of those seasons back then, starting in 2017, right? Yes. And I was not here telling anybody to go get a bunch of veterans. And when you're in it, you have to commit to it. But if you're bad at it, if it lasts too long, if you don't commit fully and find those stars in a quick period of time, you really, really do damage to the players, the culture, the mindset, the workplace environment, all of it. And it's hard to come back from. The Suns did. Booker was able to stick it out, and here we are. But you all remember, I'm sure a lot of you weren't even fans of the team until recently because of how bad that was. So to skip past the history lesson, I want to talk about what we can learn from that and what tanking this season would really mean. Not mean in terms of can you get the third overall pick or fourth overall pick or something like that. But what is it? What would it mean? Big picture. Again, if injuries naturally sap the team and it just becomes one of those hellacious seasons that no one can account for, that's just life. But anything short of that, you're talking about sitting healthy players, managing injuries in an overly conservative way, and potentially trading good players for future assets, things like that. Again, this is what ruined your relationship during the period of time I just outlined with everybody from Eric Bledsoe to Tyson Chandler to the Trevor Ariza debacle, created a bad development environment for the likes of TJ Warren, Tyler Uless, Josh Jackson. That part, not so much of a concern anymore. I think the Suns are beyond that. One loss season, one tanking season. If the Suns were to entertain that premise, which as I'm getting to, I would not. But even if they did, I doubt it would be too bad for the development of the young players. But it's still something you have to be mindful of. Are you playing competitive basketball that players can actually grow from? Or are you just rolling a lineup out there for the sake of getting ping pong balls? This all was not that long ago. Speaking of not that long ago, if we just look back at the recent history of the NBA, that's the recent history of the Suns and a little bit of a cautionary tale, but there's also just no precedent for this, guys, okay? Who were the best teams 5 years ago in the NBA? Cleveland, Houston, Oklahoma City, Golden State, obviously, and then more recently, teams like the Lakers, the Raptors. Let's walk through them. Okay, Houston fell off when they traded Harden. OKC fell off when Chris Paul finally left to come to Phoenix, and their teardown hit a completion point. The Raptors, they took a hit, but only when Kawhi left, because they had traded DeMar DeRozan for Kawhi, and then when Kawhi left, they had nothing to show for any of that. The Warriors and Lakers, more recently, they took a step back for a bit after winning championships because of injuries to Davis, LeBron, Steph, Klay, at various points, plus obviously with the Warriors, Durant leaving. There's no time, even in this era of tanking and load management and player empowerment and all these things, that a 64-win caliber team, a dominant, elite, historically good regular season team, willingly embrace losing that shortly thereafter with the same core while a superstar in his prime was suited up for that organization. Okay? It doesn't happen, hasn't happened, won't happen. I don't understand how you can go forward with a decision like that. And again, I want to make the distinction between an injury-riddled lost season and something that you're choosing. Because when you say tanking, that's a choice. Tanking is not what we call teams who have a season from hell and get hurt. The Toronto Raptors, when they ended up getting Scottie Barnes, that was because they had a year where they had to play in Tampa Bay, which is not a city that has an NBA team, and obviously is not Toronto. They went there, players had COVID, players had injuries, everybody was miserable, they lost a ton of games, and they got a good pick. Nobody thought Toronto was tanking in that season. They knew it was a lost season. There's a difference. Tanking, which is a word I'm seeing thrown around a lot by these people in the Suns fan base, would be intentional. And it would be a slap in the face to predominantly Booker, who endured awful seasons and was playing at an all-NBA level before his recent injury, to Monty Williams, who again returned to coaching and picked Phoenix over the Lakers and other opportunities in order to embrace what this rebuild could be and bring legitimacy back to the Suns. And it would also be a slap in the face to Chris Paul, as much as I know Suns fans don't want to hear that right now and are frustrated with how poorly he's been playing and injuries and showing his age to the extent that he has, which has been incredibly overwhelming. It would also be a slap in the face to him. He chose to come here. He gave the franchise some of its best moments ever. And he committed here, you know? He didn't just treat it as a one last season because he had a year left on his contract and then I'm going to go play with my buddy Chris LeBron James. He came here and then he stayed here and he was really, really good. And none of that is to mention how the new owners might feel, who are likely overpaying for the Suns. If you read any of the reporting, they overbid, they came in really hot with a big offer, and no one else seemed to think the Suns were worth $4 billion except for them. And they're not doing that, okay, to take over a team that's losing on purpose to try to get the fourth overall pick or something, okay? I don't see how you would want to move forward with this. But there's also some reasons that the team just isn't set up logistically with the salary cap to handle the rest of the season this way. We'll get into why next. First, today's show, guys, is brought to you by Bet Online, your number one source for sports betting, odds, props, info, analysis, news, all of it. Make your bets, get informed, all in one place. The latest odds and trends for every pro and amateur league out there, from pro football to pro basketball and beyond. Do we have football odds up yet? We do not. We have NBA game lines. Let's see if the Suns have a line. No, everybody's just pitying them. Donovan Mitchell's return to Utah. The Cavs are 3.5-point favorites. We have the Clippers and Mavs game is up here. Oklahoma City is going to Miami. Every single day, odds on your favorite games in your favorite sports. The fastest and easiest way to get your betting info as well. So head to the website today. That's betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. That's BetOnline, where the game starts. Today's show also brought to you by TurboTax. Go to TurboTax today and don't do your taxes. Meet with an expert who will do them for you. TurboTax experts can relieve you from the stress of taxes and file for you so you can do, well, not taxes. Show your eyes things that are not taxes. Unpack a moving box of not taxes. Sing not taxes, a lullaby, hope not taxes, sleeps through the night. You get the point. With TurboTax, an expert will do your taxes from start to finish, ensuring your taxes are done right. That's their guarantee, so that you can relax and be done with your taxes before you even start them. So come to TurboTax today and don't do your taxes. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. That's Intuit TurboTax. Full service products only. Video meeting while expert does your taxes is required. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. We've talked about culture. We've talked about schedule. We've talked about injuries. There's also some roster building ramifications to this stuff. Salary cap things that have been set up specifically so that the Suns continue to be competitive, because look, that's the plan, okay? They have to make some sort of trade with Jay Crowder, firstly, all right? Number one, we know that. I've said the name Jay Crowder more times this season than I have ever before when he was actually an impactful player on the team. You know that by now. But no matter what the trade is, it's inevitably going to be an upgrade over the dead roster spot that they currently have, right? I see people online every single game. Well, wouldn't it be nice with all these injuries if they had their freaking starting four back in the lineup? Well, yeah, it would be, but that's clearly not an option. What will help is when they get any player, right? Whatever, even if it's Grayson Allen or some of the worst-case scenarios we've talked about, that's better than zero players, right? The other part of this is, in a little bit of a more nitty-gritty nuts and bolts team-building kind of way, is who are the players that we've seen get talked about in these trade talks, right? It's obviously Crowder. Some of that is because of the demand and him wanting to sit out, but that would have been the case anyway. Dario Saric, Landry Shamet. Some of that, again, because they're not super valuable to the team, they're underperforming, whatever the case may be. It's also because of their contract, right? NBA teams sign these mid-level types of contracts with the intention of using them in trades down the line. That is honestly one of the only cap minutiae, very like value, you gotta nail the little stuff types of things that James Jones has done a really, really good job of. If you don't use Saric, Crowder, Craig, even Torrey Craig, who's at like $6 million on an expiring salary, if you don't trade those expiring salaries and use them as matching dollars in a deal, you kind of lose a lot of the value of the way that you set up their contract. It's not to say that the way that they performed while they were on those contracts is obviously a huge part of the value too, but again, when you do 3 years for Crowder or you do 3 years for Saric, you're doing that with the intention of we're going to have this tool at our disposal in trades for these 3 years. If you only do it for 1 year, you're kind of wasting it, right? Unless you really are in a crunch with money, it doesn't usually make a lot of sense to do a one-year contract, or somebody's an older player. There's obviously these things, but when you have the multi-year deals, as NBA fans, we know, okay, that could be a trade. It probably should be a trade, especially when you're not getting anything really productive from them on the court. Craig, okay, you can make a case he's been fine for his role, but Šarić is not recovering well. Not that there's a lot of value for him, but again, the money matters. It's a way to add yourself up. We were talking, let's say, that Eric Gordon and KJ Martin trade in Houston, right? Crowder's salary is not enough to get them there. So you talk about Crowder and Šarić and maybe a pick or two, and then you have the trade, right? So that's the deal. Again, there may not be a trade, but just like with what we were talking about with Kevin Durant over the summer, having a lot of these same types of breakdowns, the Suns are still positioned to strike with the trade this season. Their roster, their cap is set up for this season to be the trade season. Could have been last offseason, and it still could be all the way up until February 9th when the deadline happens. That's why they set up the salaries to expire at the same time, whatever. They're not going to get cap space unless they get rid of a lot of their good players. If they just traded away, if they cut everybody who's non-guaranteed and waived everybody's holds who are expiring, they would have some cap space, but that's not what they're going to do, right? And so, again, there's no use in letting these guys evaporate off of your cap sheet for nothing. A trade is the best way. That type of trade will make you better. If you make some sort of trade, let's say that it's, I don't know, what's realistic? Let's say it's Kuzma, okay? Let's say it's Crowder and Šarić and a top five protected first round pick in 2024. I don't know if that's enough, whatever. We don't need to talk about it in detail. That type of trade makes you better. We talked about this a little bit yesterday with Brandon, too. It's not enough to win a championship, but again, if we're talking about tanking and draft positioning, it's enough to make you better enough that it's unrealistic to focus on your draft position and losing and getting in the right spots with that. Okay? So whether it's the cultural stuff, the schedule stuff, the injuries, the health returning to more normalcy in the second half of the season, or it's the fact that you know you at least have to make a Crowder trade, if not something bigger, in order to maximize the value of the way that your cap sheet is set up right now, and not to mention, once again, the ownership situation. I know Suns fans are frustrated that Sticks and the pick that Jones traded for Shamit and some of these other draft picks, draft options have just failed. I get that. Even Ty Jerome or like things like that, you can go back and they haven't developed that second wave of young talent. And the opportunity to potentially get even the 9th pick, 11th pick is really exciting because it would provide another bite at that apple. But unless injuries force your hand, you cannot make moves to worsen yourself intentionally, waste a season, disrespect the people who got you here, and mismanage the cap situation that you set yourself up to take advantage of. It just doesn't make any sense. That'll do it for today's show. Another nationally televised Suns game here on Tuesday. Steph Curry is returning to the lineup. We'll see. Maybe there's some competitiveness in there. A lot of guys look like they're going to be out in this game. The Suns kind of look like they're rolling over on the first night of a back-to-back. Crazier things have happened. If you check it out, if you don't, I will probably still be here. I might take the day off if the Suns take the day off. But either way, hit subscribe, hit follow. We'll be here the rest of the week right here on this feed for you to keep up with your favorite team every single day. In the meantime, go make Locked On Sports Today your second listen to get caught up on all things sports around the whole wide world. That show's available on all podcast platforms, and I'll talk to you all soon.